Close your eyes. Imagine that you and a group of 7-8 friends are walking over a frozen river in a narrow valley in remote Himalayan snow-covered mountains. It's minus 35 degrees centigrade, bone-chilling environment, hardly any sun to keep you warm. The river top is frozen, but you can see rushing blue water streaming underneath it. Some of your friends slip on the ice and fall hard on this trek. And you laugh while you yourself struggle to land your feet. And then your next step just goes through the ice and lands your foot into water. And then you fall as the ice breaks. And the layer of ice that you were walking on breaks and you get submerged into the icy waters. Luckily, the river isn't more than knee deep here, so friends pull you out quickly. But you are numb with cold, waist down, and it takes you 30 minutes to get circulation back in your limbs, change clothes, and take the next step. Now, imagine if this is how life is going to be for the next 7 days, and you live to tell the tale and brag that you finished the famous Chadar trek in Ladakh, what the BBC once described as one of the most dangerous ones in the world. But this is what I experienced when I went for it a few years ago. Or let's get to scene two, another one. You are flying or maybe gliding amidst a scenery that is not just picturesque, but heavenly. Snow-covered mountains around with tall coniferous trees and blooming red wildflowers. Below your feet, a lovely and icy blue stream flowing over land with gurgling foam over the rapids and boulders. As you start coming down, you notice the slopes of the mountains with softest powdery snow, so much that you wish you rolled down zorbing inside a ball, and then slowly you land in a field with soft grass and roll over and come to a stop with your eyes opening to a clean blue sky above. Well, this is what you can do the whole day if you are paragliding in Manali. So if skiing down audacious slopes rushes adrenaline into you, or spotting scorpion fish amongst the corals gives you goosebumps, or like me, walking on frozen rivers within deep and narrow mountain valleys gets your blood rushing, or whitewater rafting on Great Five Rapids makes your dinner worth it, then India is the place for you.
Welcome to Travel John's podcast by two traveling Indians, Huma and Sudeep. And in this podcast, we will tell you about a different side of India that you may not have heard much about earlier. And that is adventure sports. Also, today we have a guest on our show, Roma from Evolve Foods, an adventure enthusiast. She trekked on frozen Chadar Lake at minus 35 degrees centigrade and bungee jumped off Macau Tower. She's a certified advanced scuba diver and an avid yoga practitioner. A warm welcome to you, Roma.
Hey guys, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm pretty thrilled about it.
We are too. So Roma, we'll come back to you with our questions on your adventure experiences.
Sure.
Especially with scuba diving. But before that, let's talk about India as a destination for adventure. Not very popularly known that way, right?
Yeah, quite still unexplored, I must say.
Yeah, Huma, you're right. I was wondering why this side of India, which is adventure sports, is not so well known, say when compared to our architecture or food. What do you think?
Given that India is a developing nation, staying here itself makes daily life adventurous. So we avoid any further adventurous sports, I guess. Isn't it? On a serious note, apart from office-sponsored travel, till a few years back, most Indians traveled either for honeymoon as a ritual or in big family groups. And they wouldn't experiment a lot, unlike these days. It's only the last decade that a lot of Indians have started talking about adventure as a theme.
Right.
Right. Secondly, in a developing nation, safety measures are a big concern, given that bribe culture has existed for years.
True.
People do not trust the safety ratings of equipment, people and places here. Add to it, there have been a few misadventures in, you know, some of the places across the country.
Right, you're right.
Which cannot be ignored. Now, most importantly, the third part, we have a habit of bargaining and look for the cheapest deals for the thrill. Not considering the fact that, you know, it being cheap may have compromised somewhere on the safety and the experience of the adventure. So, if we avoid things like this, we can really look forward to a lot of adventure sports in our country. However, I would also say that, you know, things are improving rapidly and there are a lot of companies which are, you know, responsible and much more professional who have come up in adventure tourism space.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, have you seen that?
That's what I think. And now that I have tackled your question, here is mine, Sudeep. What can one do in India in the name of adventure?
Well, now that you've asked it, I think the entire country is an adventure in itself, pun intended. But having seen a lot of this country for so many years, I'll say we have some world-class options around, some that I really like. For example, number one, skiing and snow sports. We have some very beautiful snows, the finest powders and great beauty to be in. And skiing is extremely affordable in India compared to global prices. That's one. Number two, the Himalayas and Western Ghats provide some amazing and exhilarating treks in beauty, grade of difficulty, and fitness levels. Number three, sea diving. We have some amazing islands in the Andamans, Lakshadweep, which are great diving spots. And in addition to that, we have the shoreline around the Western Ghats, which make for fantastic diving spots. And number four, white water rafting. Think of the 17 mountain tributaries of Ganges. Think of the mighty Brahmaputra and the forceful Indus cutting through the mountain gorges. And you do get the idea of how much foam is available for adventure in our rivers about water rafting. So, and this is just counting the natural stuff. If you're looking for man-made adventure like off-roading or marathon running, etc., then there is lot more too, right? So, did I answer your question?
Yes, you did. Gave a pretty solid set of things one could do.
Thank you.
For the benefit of our listeners, can you detail out a bit on some of these you think would be attractive to travelers? Also, from the safety point of view, because we have already spoken about it.
Well, thou shalt have my answer. Well, actually, my answer is pretty much laid out on the India Adventure section of our website, Travel Jaunts, but I'd laid them out here. I have six circuits in mind that I'll prescribe. And let me start with the first one. Paragliding in a place called Bir Biling in Himachal Pradesh. You basically fly into India in one of the airports, international airports, and then you fly on to the Kangra airport in Himachal, from where you drive down to Dharamshala, the largest town near Bir Biling, and then go on to Bir Biling. It's got amazing natural meadows from where you can paraglide into a large part of valleys, and there are multiple valleys in which you can paraglide into and land safely. Very beautiful. And top it around, there is Makliot Ganj, which is the home of the Dalai Lama in India, and has got a huge Buddhist monastery as well as a culture in itself. So you could do these while you are paragliding, get back to the Kangra airport and go back home. That's the first section. The second section is fondly called in India's Kashmir Great Lakes. These are alpine lakes high in the meadows of the Kashmir Valley. How do you go there is you get down to Srinagar as the airport, and then you take a ride to a place called Sonmark, from where you start trekking upwards, and beautiful meadows, no habitation of people or animals around, sometimes very close to the international border. And almost every day you will see an alpine lake or two, green, turquoise green, azure blue, depending on the sky.
It's a six to seven days.
And then you get down to a place called Naranag and then get back to Srinagar again. 7-8 days of complete tranquility and bliss, amazing meadows. The third one, which lots of Indians and non-Indians do, which is the Chadar trek in Ladakh. You get down to the capital of Ladakh, which is Leh, an airport at 12,000 feet itself, where you get down and acclimatize for maybe a day. Then you get to a place which is the start of the trek. The place is appropriately named Chilling because it's really, really cold. From there, you start walking on the river. It's, I think, 4 days walk upstream and then 4 days back downstream in a very, very, very narrow valley on which the river Zanskar, under which the river Zanskar goes through. And there is no internet, no phone, no connections, and nothing which is man-made. Even if you have to go use, you look for a urinal, there is nothing. It's all out there in the open in nature. So you spend those 8 days, get back to Chilling, get back to Leh, and you would have a whale of an experience. The fourth sector, I would say, is pick up the whitewater rafting in Rishikesh on the river Ganges. You get down to Delhi, have a nice drive to Haridwar, the temple town of India, and then to Rishikesh. You stay there depending on where you want to be, and then just have amazing experience in grade 3 to grade 5 rapids across Rishikesh and the Ganges 5 kilometers upstream. Soak in the sand around and get back to Delhi. Fifth one, I'll go take you ski snooping in a place called Auli, which is in the northern state of Uttarakhand. Again, you get down to Delhi and then drive along maybe 10-12 hour journey to a place called Joshimath after crossing Haridwar. You make your base camp there and then take the gondola to go to the place called Auli, one of the finest ski slopes in India. Very soft powder and very, very beautiful. You spend as much time as you want to, and then you again by road come back through Rishikesh, Haridwar to Delhi. Maybe you can combine the whitewater rafting in Rishikesh in this trip and make it slightly longer if you want to.
But the other option for skiing would be Gulmarg, right?
Yes, Gulmarg in Kashmir. So if you are doing the Kashmir Great Lakes, maybe you could take a 3-day detour and also do Gulmarg, right? The last one, let me talk about ocean diving or sea diving. And for a thing, I think the best place would be Andamans. You get down to the only airport there at Port Blair, from where you can island hop to various islands through ferries. The best might be of the many islands like Coral Island or Ross Island. The best, I think, is Havelock Island. Very pristine beauty, amazing beaches, and the beaches there have some extremely good marine life to go see. So you go to Port Blair, go island hopping, go down to Havelock Island, have your fill, and come back via Port Blair. So these are, I would say, Homa, the six circuits, I would say, are my favorite ones to discover the best in India.
Pretty much across the country, from Himachal in the north to Andamans in extreme east to a remote airstrip of Kangra.
Right. Homa, I think we have crisscrossed the entire country, and you know, best places do seem to get tucked away by nature in those remote places. But I do have some alternatives too, and these also are very, very cool. So let me lay them out for you. Let me start in the reverse order. Diving, I told you about Andamans, but then Lakshadweep also is an equally good option for diving.
Netrani
on the western coast that we have around Karnataka, and that way is extending the coast a bit above. The Sindhudurg coastline around Maharashtra also is an extremely good spot for diving. So these are places on diving. If you look at paragliding, I spoke to you about Birbaling in Himachal, but we also have Manali in Himachal, which is an equally good spot. And then we have Nainital in Uttarakhand, and also up north in Uttarakhand, a very, very pristine set of green meadows called the Bedini Bugyal. You can go there as well. And if you're looking at maybe going towards further east for India, then Gangtok makes a good place again for paragliding. So one could paraglide across many places in India. If it is treks, India has a lot of treks. If not the Kashmir Great Lake, you could do an equally beautiful and similar scenario in Humpta Pass, which goes through Manali. Then you could look at again the Bedini Bugyal and Ali Bugyal, the Bugyals of Uttarakhand, again very good treks. If you're looking for a mountain summit and come back, then Kedar Kantha is a beautiful trek. And if you're looking at a big circuit base camp, then the Sandakfu trek, which is around the Kanchenjunga National Reserve, is also a great trek that I would recommend. If you're looking at whitewater rafting, then, you know, on the Indus in Ladakh, great place. On the Lohit River in Arunachal near Dirang, great place. On the Tista River, either in Sikkim or Upper West Bengal, great place. Manali again on the Bias River, great place for whitewater rafting. And so down south on Dandeli River in Karnataka, again a great place. On skiing, while I said Oli in Uttarakhand, you can again look at Manali for skiing, good place. Pahalgam and Gulmarg in Kashmir, again good place for skiing. The Daira Bugyals, when they are in winter season, also is a great place for skiing. Narkanda or Kufri in Himachal near Simla also is a good place, but limited slopes. And Lachung in Sikkim, amazingly beautiful space for skiing and winter sports.
So if I can summarize, then Manali becomes a good choice for many things. The Bugyals of Uttarakhand and the Nainital belt as well.
Yeah.
And maybe pick any river in the north for adventure sports.
Absolutely right. I think Manali becomes a very good choice for many things. I think that's why I call the adventure capital of India for nothing. And yes, you rightly summed up about Uttarakhand. And yes, pick any river in north and
I would also say that trekking has become quite professional in India. So any of the Kashmir treks, I would really suggest personally. What do you say, Roma?
I think I consider myself as a mountain person who also enjoys diving. So of course, trekking in the north or diving in the Andamans would be something I would love to do. But I guess somewhere I'm really looking forward to explore the Northeast Circuit, starting with Meghalaya. It's actually a paradise for adventure enthusiasts.
Right. Roma, now let me ask you, what are your worst and best adventures so far? Need not be necessarily in India.
I think most of my adventure trips have turned out to be great. But if I have to choose my best and the worst experience, then probably my best experience would be diving in Sipadan. It's a small island in Malaysia. It's actually considered one of the top diving destinations in the world. You know, the water there is so clear that you can see beautiful fishes and corals without even jumping into the water. I guess it was one of the most amazing moments and, you know, totally blissful. But when it comes to my worst experience, I guess it would be Netrani. And the only reason I'm saying Netrani here because I guess I was not keeping well. I was puking the whole time, so I think it was probably one of my most uncomfortable dive.
Wow, how can one develop diving as a hobby?
Diving or any activity you talk about, I think it's very, very important to first give it a try. You know, all the scuba schools, they generally have this discovery dive which you can try it out, and it'll give you a good glimpse, you know, very, very good glimpse about what and how the diving feels like. Then there are some courses, even in Bangalore, actually, you can find some scuba schools which will help you with all the foundation knowledge through pool sessions and theory classes, and then you can probably, you know, try out diving as well. But I guess in the end, it just boils down to whether you like it or not, whether you enjoy diving or not. I think my two cents would be, do give it a try. If you love it, I think it's an amazing hobby.
I think you're right.
Agreed, Roma. What's your opinion? How do you think we can improve adventure tourism in India?
India's a beautiful country. We have everything from mountains to rivers to oceans to caves. I guess everything. But when it comes to adventure, I think when it comes to adventure industry, I guess we are just scratching the surface right now. You know, when we talk about adventure, I think it's very, very important that we do talk about safety as well. Because when it comes to our safety, there are absolutely no shortcuts. You know, government bodies or respective authorities should actually enforce safety guidelines. The resorts, the operators who are actually having these adventure activities, they should follow these guidelines. And I think there's a big onus on us as well as travelers to follow these guidelines. After all, it is our own life, correct? So once we have established safety, I guess people will be more open to try out new activities. I think I should also congratulate you guys, since you both are doing an incredible job of sharing your experience, your tips and your stories with the world. I'm sure it'll inspire many more to explore the adventurous side of India. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Roma. Thank you for coming to our show. Sudeep, now let's get to our Cut the Clutter section, where we tell our listeners the basic FAQs of when to travel, where to board, how to move around and what to eat and many other questions.
Yeah, so let's deal with the basics of traveling within India for your adventures. First question, when to travel? Most of India is very good bet to travel between the winter months of October to start of spring in March. Climate and temperatures are very nice, but it also is the high season for tourism and will have more crowds than usual. Now, my specific advice for Andamans, pick between November and May. Andaman festival in January is a big draw, so maybe you want to time it that way, your call. For bill billing in Himachal, for paragliding, September to November makes a lot of sense. For the Kashmir Great Lakes, April to August is a good window. July, August is the best time because Kashmir is still very cold in the months of April and May. For the Chadar trek, it's only for a specific period of time, after which the river starts melting. So Jan to maybe first week is the good period for Chadar, not beyond that. Whitewater rafting in Rishikesh between October to Feb makes more sense. And early, between November to March is when you find the snows consistent and powdery. So this is on when to travel, specifically on these six circuits that I had in mind, Uma. How to travel? Second question. I would say take a flight into the starting location for each circuit. For example, if you are coming to Chadar, then fly into Leh. Or if you are going for, let's say, a Sandakfu trek, get down to Siliguri. Barring Leh and Port Blair, which are the for Andamans, other starting points are well connected by trains also across the country.
Yeah.
And it is most advisable to thereafter, from that point, hire a private vehicle and cover the circuit by road. This provides you the most flexibility to get to the place where adventure is and time spent every day on sightseeing. The itineraries that we have designed in detail in our website are such that you start each day as fresh as you need to take in those visuals. Which brings me to my next question of where to stay. The best answer is to stay as close to where your adventure is. For example, if you're paragliding in Birbiling, I would suggest look for a tented accommodation in Birbiling, then maybe staying in Dharamshala and doing the up and down every day. Of 40 kilometers.
If you're doing for one day, you can obviously stay at Dharamshala.
Yeah, but the best thing is to stay as close as where you are doing your adventure. It saves you time and gives you more time to do what you have come in to do for. However, once you have figured out where do you want to stay, India has many options, from ultra low budget hostels to about resorts and very high end hotels and resorts as well, depending on what you are picking up. For example, if you are going to ski in Oli, and hence your natural town that you should stay into is Joshimath, Joshimath has a list of budget hostels to about very decent and comfortable hotels as well. It depends on you.
In Rishikesh, you will find, you know,
even more. So as you get down to some bigger towns, you have more and more options that start coming your way.
Any other thing that you want to...
No, I think the normal do's and don'ts of people who come into India from outside for first time, I think we have spoken about it in our podcast, and the same is available on our website too. So do look it up. It's as good and normal as any other country that one would visit. So nothing else.
Yeah. You've been listening to Travel John's podcast. This is Huma, and our episode today was produced by me and Sudeep. We'll be back next week with a new episode on beach destinations for honeymoon in our new series on international travel from India. Thank you for listening. To get your weekly updates, please do like, share and subscribe to Travel Jones on Apple Podcasts, Spotify or from wherever you get your podcast from. It'll help us keep coming back with interesting stories and destination insights. Ciao.